We're going to, I'm going to call this meeting to order. I believe we, doesn't really matter if we have quorum. We're just continuing.
Just a point of information, Grace?
Yes.
How many more people were left on the listener comment list? How many people
I
are left?
I have no idea. I don't have it.
Maybe we should.
We will have listener comment per what we decided yesterday at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
But since, what
we're
going to
continue with the agenda.
Why don't we
now
just finish up what's there? Could I make?
I have no idea how many people were left.
So can we suspend?
The next public comment period is at 5.
Right. But what I'm saying is, no, there were more than five people standing in line over there.
You know, the listener comment for this morning was supposed to be a half hour. It was 45 minutes. So that was a generous listener comment period. We're going to continue with the meeting and...
Wait a second.
I don't know where it is.
Hold it a minute.
Okay.
Hold it a second.
All right. The next listener comment period is at 5 p.m. And the next thing on the agenda is the
agenda, please. This is a public meeting.
Okay. I don't have extra copies. Okay, fine. Can somebody give Okay. We're going to move on with the meeting. The interim development director was not able to be here today, so we will have the written report posted on the website. The next item on the agenda for time certain of 2 o'clock is a little late, but is the affiliate report. Ifia?
Good afternoon. My name is Ifia Wangaza. I represent WMXP LP, the PMB affiliate representative and National Affiliate Task Force chair, along with David Beaton, who is also an affiliate representative. There are more than 150 affiliates, and we generate over $200,000 per year with minimal cost. Over the past 18 months, Pacifica's affiliates have exhibited a growing interest, enthusiasm, and desire to communicate on our own behalf directly with the PMB to bond and exchange with the Pacifica sister stations and one another and hold membership on the affiliates task force. The task force is charged with representing the affiliates and being a bridge to Pacifica. We are pleased that the program has been more fully institutionalized. It now has a distinct program budget and has become a part of the foundation's financial structure. Special thanks to George Ryder of KPFT, PMB board rep, Grace Aaron, and LaVarn Williams for assistance in achieving this long-standing goal. Further, during the winter quarter, the task force conducted an affiliate's town hall meeting. There was broader notice, access, and solicitation for affiliate involvement. As a result, it was well attended, participation was spirited, and a demand for fuller participation reiterated. Efforts to open task force meetings and membership and facilitate greater participation of affiliates in the affiliate task force continues. Along with Ursula Rutenberg, the program coordinator, and Brian DeShazer, the archives director, I attended the National Federation of Community Broadcasters Conference. I convened a meeting of over 30 affiliates who were also in attendance at that conference. They expressed concern about the well-being of Pacifica and a willingness to be of support and assistance. They expressed particular interest in proposals for new media platforms, satellite broadcasting, greater program exchange, and consideration of Al Jazeera English in the resources available through their association with Pacifica. The affiliates' June task force meeting focused on an open exchange with Grace Aaron, Pacifica Foundation Chair, Interim ED. It was headlined, Join Grace Aaron, Chair, IED, at task force meeting. We had the largest number of affiliate participants of any previous task force meeting. Grace updated affiliates on Pacifica's health and direction. She took questions and heard comments on Pacifica and the affiliates program. Station reps were enthusiastic and engaged. The meeting lasted far beyond the scheduled 1 hour, and another exchange will be scheduled before the end of the year. In anticipation of this meeting, affiliates were extended an invitation to participate in today's session, launching a formal effort to hear from affiliates at the board's regional in-person meetings. The idea was applauded by affiliates and comments were forwarded. Affiliate participation will be more fully developed at upcoming in-person meetings. The responses ranged from complaints of the shortness of time of the notice, requests for the itinerary of the next PMB meeting so that plans could be made at affiliate station level in order to get fuller participation and take advantage of less expensive travel arrangements. In our ongoing effort to understand and to meet the needs of the affiliates, a primary focus has been on AudioPort, and we especially express our appreciation to the tech staff, especially John Armella and Otis McClay, for their continuing attention and assistance to affiliate needs and to the upgrading, along with their colleagues, of AudioPort. There are other efforts afoot to make the use of AudioPort easier and to also be able to gather more information from those stations using it so that we have a clearer sense of not only its use, but how it can be can better serve the needs of the affiliates as well as Pacifica. We received criticism of Pacifica's the fact, and I'll just read it, coming from former board member and task force chair, Rip Robbins, noting that he found it interesting that the national list of quote-unquote investigative journalism does not include Pacifica, a network of five major metro stations with over 100 affiliates scattered across the United States. Pacifica local station provincialism, along with manipulated governance structure that promotes protectionism and fiefdoms, killed off the most likely organization to have been in the lead group of independent voices, namely the Pacifica Network and its affiliates. We hope that in our effort to realize the mission of community broadcasting in relation to Pacifica, that we will all find the way to realize our objectives and to meet our missions. As we know that there are any number of organizations that focus exclusively on lobbying for community broadcasting, focus exclusively on assisting and raising community radio stations. We call on Pacifica to meet its mission of providing content for those stations that do emerge. As you know, as some of you may know, the low power radio bill is now in Congress, and my co-representative David Beaton has comments to make on that.
Hello, I'm Dave Beaton, the affiliate rep on the Pacifica National Board. The Local Community Radio Act is in Congress now, and it has a very good chance of passing. This will expand LPFM stations across the country. I ask our listeners to join people from across the country to tell Congress to open up the airwaves by passing the Local Community Radio Act now. The Local Community Radio Act is H.R. 1147. It would expand low-power FM radio stations and open airwaves up to potentially tens of thousands of new community radio stations across the country. In the meantime, there have been new commercial community radio stations starting to build out. They're coming online soon across the nation. They received their construction permits from the FCC recently. They're going to need our support. They're going to need your support. So stations are beginning the building process. Ursula is in Mississippi, as was said earlier, helping one of the stations currently. They're going to need the financial support of the progressive community, the radio community, and your volunteer help. So keep listening, and thank you.
I think that's the end of our report. A written summation will be submitted to the board at a later time.
Thank you very much for those reports. The next thing on the agenda is that general managers and local station board chair reports. We have Grigsby Hubbard here, and LaVarne isn't back from lunch yet. And also, I'd like to extend an invitation to Zarina Shakir and Mitchell Cohen to speak for a short time, possibly 5 minutes each. But if they are not here, we'll just postpone this to later on in the agenda. But Grigsby, can you give a report as interim general manager of WPFW? Yes.
What happened with the development director?
Okay, I just mentioned that Tony Riddle was not able to be here. We will post his report on the website, along with all the rest of the reports, all the written reports, and the visual information will be on the report. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. If you would like to read it, if the audience will not heckle, the reader will have it read. Wendy Schrell will read the report.
Thank you. I was going to suggest it before you guys did.
Yeah, well, you need
a go ahead, help. Wendy.
Obama needs a little help.
Order.
Okay.
What?
Go ahead, Wendy. Read the report. Just start.
Okay. This is the development director of Pacifica, Anthony Riddle's report. It's entitled Federal Funding, Subcategory Stimulus Funding. The stimulus package, as laid out by a consultant for the committee department, the Commerce Department, appears to be only marginally related to Pacifica activities. The two programs presented were both aimed at providing increased broadband opportunities in unserved and underserved rural areas. It is possible to conceive how Pacifica might fashion such a program, but would require significant departure from current practices. The deadline for application is August 14th. There does appear to be some level of discretionary stimulus spending available. I have been made aware of meetings with key legislators aimed at developing stimulus funding to support the survival of minority and women-owned radio stations. I will be joining these conversations next week, promoting Pacifica as being a similarly important resource. I will report back formally to the ED following these meetings. The next category is NTIA/PTFP. I met with a staff member of the National Telecommunications Infrastructure Administration, which is NTIA, of the Commerce Department regarding the state of our transmitters and our infrastructure. She discussed an NTIA/PTFP transmitter grant program for which Pacifica is eligible. In particular, we discussed WPFW and WBAI and the dramatic need for replacement of transmitters in the next few years. There is a specific grant program to address this. Needs of other stations in this regard should be forwarded for inclusion. The need at WBAI is clear, I know from experience. This program may serve as an alternative to a proposal I'd worked on both as GM and in the current position. In that proposal, an FM station from South New Jersey would have replaced the WBAI transmitter in exchange for their use of part of the resultant HD bandwidth. For a variety of thoughtful reasons, we are not pursuing this proposal. However, it did point out the possibility of not only replacing decades-old equipment, but of upgrading and expanding our broadcast bandwidth and number of streams. Philanthropic funding. I have had meetings with a number of funding organizations as a matter of introduction for Pacifica. It has given me an overview of potential funders in a volatile time. I could read this if everybody could please. Many public service organizations, such as Pacifica, are in greater financial crisis than before. Those that depend on large invested endowments, business donations, or large gifts are suffering as a result of the loss of value of holdings. The same is true of philanthropic organizations. I spoke with members of one of the largest, most progressive organizations recently and found that they are ending, after 25 years or so, their programs in support of GLBT activists, progressive film and radio, and Southwest U.S. activism. They may also divide their endowment among their member organizations, effectively disbanding a key progressive funder. This not only leaves a tremendous gap in direct funding possibilities for Pacifica and its stations, but for content producers and community organizers who sometimes form a basis of Pacifica content contributors. For this reason, it is important to develop activities that will meet at the nexus of content production and community service/organizing. Funders need to be able to meet multiple programmatic objectives when times are tight. Pacifica's proposals to foundations should, number one, identify key underserved constituencies, number two, engage artistic, cultural, political, and/or service groups working with those communities, and number three, have a clearly laid out plan for how the on-air program continues to become an activist plan involving organizing or end-user services of benefit to a community. Possible proposals. Youth initiative. Based on network Arbitron statistics, which show the median age of the listeners is about 55 years, the future depends on a rapid activity for involvement of progressive youth in the 18 to 30-year-old range. Failure to do so will lead to a decline in listenership, energy, and relevance. Such an initiative should not only focus on airtime, but should, instead, develop from a proactive approach to transfer of real power in all aspects of operation and leadership to young people. Experience has shown that this sort of initiative is of great interest to foundations. Next paragraph, board facilitation, conflict resolution. All organizations need facilitation from time to time to overcome structural and historical differences and to reestablish balance in its interactions. This is particularly true of Pacifica, which has grown up organically over time. There are several foundations that could be interested in funding such work if the board has the will. Program support. There is potential for support of specific programming initiatives based upon the type of audience served and the quality of the production. It would be helpful to know what five programs produced at each station are considered the best candidates for outside funding. So then the last paragraph, it says, survey of existing funding. In order to prevent conflicting requests to foundations, it is important that we know what funding is already received by stations, by the foundation, and by programmers. For instance, in discussing a possible funding source, I found that producers at one station were already receiving funding directly from that source. This is important to know. I will be sending around a second request for such information soon. I can be contacted at servebai@yahoo.com. This is from Tony Riddle.
Thank you, Wendy.
Tony Riddle, who went to
Okay, next, Grigsby. Very good. Good idea. Okay. I'd like to introduce Grigsby Hubbard. He is the new interim general manager of WPFW. Welcome, Grigsby.
Across conversation. Let me begin.
Order, please.
He couldn't be our executive director.
Excuse me, as a point of, I'm going to begin, and I'm going to depart from the text before you, just in the interest of brevity, and also to highlight certain themes that are important for the board to understand about WPFW and the work in Washington, D.C. Interim General Manager Grigsby Hubbard began work at WPFW immediately upon his appointment on June 18, 2009. It is by now evident that WPFW has entered a period of rapid recovery and renewal. You'll note that I began by being very explicit, as I intend consistently to be, about the state of our finances. An update of that would tell you that as I left Washington, we had less than $30,000 total in our bank account. The further gloss says that we have undertaken a methodical review of our finances with an eye toward both cost-cutting and clarity. For example, we've been unearthing unpaid invoices to us from a 2007 gala event, which was itself a curious accounting misadventure in the many ways it blended Pacifica Foundation payments with those from WPFW. Again, the point about what it's contained in our payments to central services is an issue highlighted in this.
Like using hotels instead of community organizations to give our money to.
WPFW has not fared well with its events. The theme here is facing up to where we are, where we've been. You can't pay as you go till you've paid up for where you've been. So I'm being very explicit about this. Our latest, popularly known as the Duck Race, lost $14,612.40, and that doesn't include the $2,800 plus for legal fees. The three-year contract with its vendor has ended. We have a full assortment of development activities underway, including foundation proposals based on exciting program initiatives. Let me expand that just a bit so that people are clear. Not everyone's going to be happy with all of the decisions, and certainly not everyone's happy with lots of bits of progress, of process. We're attempting a very unwieldy, very messy business of trying to introduce democracy in governance into an inherently hierarchical, top-down system of legalistic corporate business. My notion is that the best cure for the problems of democracy is more democracy, not less. Let me address justice, because I'm not talking about expediency, but I am talking about some practical, down-to-earth concerns. And these are informed by the better than 50 years of social activism that is the basis of my life. There's a reason why in the 42 years I've been involved with Pacifica, and including many years to put WPFW on the air, I've never sought a single job at any level. My commitment has remained. During the time when I became acquainted with our present jeopardy, our town lost two independent alternative institutions that mattered a good deal to me. Both a private school and our best progressive bookstore went under permanently to go no more. We're a town that has already experienced the loss of radio stations, very much connected to our community. The University of the District of Columbia, our only university, had a radio station that was very responsive to the community, and it simply went away. It is now C-SPAN radio. So we should not indulge the magical thinking of thinking that we have the prerogative to argue line struggle as we let an important institution that at its worst needs to be on the air. This does not mean I want it to be at its worst. But at its worst, it needs to be on the air. And it's a preposterous indulgence to engage in the kind of dangerous line struggle that would let us lose it. And it was out of that concern that I stepped forward, mindful of what my grandmother used to tell me. And understand that this is a group of people. My grandmother is from the largest group of indigenous east of the Mississippi. Fiercely independent since before there was the United States. Never enslaved. By their own determination. And her favorite saying was, "It's poor farming to curse the weather." I'm engaged in the business of planting, preparing the land, and building a radio station. The recovery, the turnaround involves drilling down into those foundational principles. I was in the room when those were argued out. This doesn't mean it's like any child, you get the complete, you get your wish list. Things go, you know, particularly if you're prepared to be democratic. It's going to go where it goes, and there will be difficulties. But you don't give up on that. It was out of that context that I stepped forward to take the kind of abuse that unfortunately attends anybody who wants to work in this foundation right now. If you're not getting the abuse, you're really not on the front lines of struggle. I don't need to seek out your congratulations or your opprobrium.
Madam,
let me just say,
meeting to order.
Let me talk about particulars of what's happening. The people. I'm not going to yell over you. You can silence me if that's your purpose.
Your report is.
Oh, then you don't get the benefit of anything I might have to say.
Just report to us.
Let me go on, please. There are people who are very pleased in this interval. A shorthanded staff, please understand, all full and part-time staff at WPFW totals 11 people to run a 24/7 radio station.
11.
That means all of the things we want to do are on the backs of those, and the hundreds, literally hundreds, of volunteer people. If you want to flesh out the story of what's going on there, you need to capture some of what I experience about what this radio station means. When I show up on Saturday mornings for work, I see a man in his 70s coming off of his regular shift at 6 o'clock in the morning, which he's done for years, on the radio, and he's on a walker, and he's pulling behind him a trunk-sized suitcase of CDs that he brings in and out of the station for his show. He's never missed a day. And you have to understand the roots in the community that this station has, the kind of attachment that it means to so many people. And that's what allows me, as somebody who is a very private person, but having to stand up for principles, to say, yes, I know what to do. It's not that complex. It's about showing up for work, capturing what needs to be done, and having the courage to just follow through and do it. The programmers, and moreover, let me just tell you that, first of all, activists in our community, and say what you will from outside, I think it's a very dangerous thing to get into the business of talking about someone else's community. Tread warily there. They are very thrilled. I'm talking about my community.
So in other words, you want to get rid of Brace and Laverne. We agree.
Okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. There's more to say.
I want you to know that you're appreciated.
Thank you.
There's I don't think.
You need to watch out. Still snake.
Are you finished with
it's
your...
It's our garden.
Who's cheering?
The garden's got a lot of snakes, Brisbane. Thank you. Forewarned.
You're going to tell people here about what it takes to produce radio, who've done it for decades, like Bernard White, who made more money than Andy Goodman and everybody put together.
Order, please.
I have some respect
in the audience.
I have one concluding statement.
Madam Chair,
I'm not going
to. How long do we have for this report?
I'm not going to attempt to talk over them.
You said you wasn't going to respond.
I'm not. If you can call this.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, how long do we have for this report?
Let me.
What's the time on this?
I want to finish up. I want to telescope everything else that I had to say, just to repeat something I said in our first LSB meeting, where I emphasized there that no individual concern, past hurts, grievances, no partisan agenda should trump the good of this foundation and its important mission. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Grigsby.
I particularly appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
Okay.
This context is our empty words.
Well, they totally usurp democratic process in Washington. You can't internalize it.
All right, the next thing on the agenda is the
can we talk about
committee and working groups reports and motions. The first thing is Wendy.
Chairman Grace, can we ask questions?
No.
Of the report? Okay.
We're going to postpone the rest of the report of the general managers and local station boards until Laverne and Zarina show up, and then we'll take it up again later in the agenda.
Madam Chair, will we be able to ask Grigsby questions then?
Pardon me?
Will we be able to ask Grigsby questions then?
Possibly. It may not be possible to have an open discussion if there's going to be a lot of disruption. Okay, well, now let's move on to committee and working groups, reports, and motions. The first thing is, Wendy, I have you on the agenda. Is there any advice you want to give us for the rest of this meeting in terms of rooms or logistics or anything else from the coordinating committee?
No. Madam Chair.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Very good. Yes, Jim.
I'm not sure that Zarina knew she was supposed to give a report, so she may not
Well,
be prepared.
You know, we can postpone that if you want to contact her, and we can have it sometime later on this afternoon or tomorrow. Okay? The next thing on the agenda is the Finance Committee report, and that's for Jamie Ross. Yes.
Jamie Ross is a big fat liar.
We'll take a one-minute break while we set up the logistics here. Just going to use my laptop. Can you unplug me?
The last gasp of a dying regime. We're being mom out right now.
This is we're the flag
right,
catchers.
We're over halfway through it, so I could hang. You know,
we have to take it as political as theater and
yeah,
just enjoy
that's right.
it.
You know, so to me, it confirms that we're doing the right things. Okay, and this is the old regime that is. You know, has nothing left. Well, you think Sherry Gendron is going to show up after losing yesterday?
Okay.
James Ross, the chair of our finance committee, to give his report.
Okay, thank you, Grace. As Grace has said, yes, I am the National Finance Committee chair. And we have a report for you here this afternoon. And let's see, this report is going to touch on various topics that we've been into with the National Finance Committee. I'm sorry to have my back to some of my fellow board members.
You always have your back to watch your
And anyway, what these points are that I want to go through are, one, to review some of our history using data from the audits and recent cash flow reports. Two, to go over how our fund drive performance this year has been. NFC tracks that. Three, I'm going to go through how we've done compared to our budget goals. And four, talk about a little bit about our cash situation, which LaVarne has actually gotten into. So, okay, without any delay, we'll move to our history. This is an interesting plot, folks. It shows Pacifica's cash in the bank at the end of every fiscal year since 2002. All the data from 2002 to 2008 comes from our audits. The data for 2009 comes from the most recent cash flow report from the National Office. Now, interesting point. There's several interesting points from this data. I'm bringing this forward to the board so people can understand where we've been and where we're going. So first point to make is that Pacifica reached a max in cash around 2006-2007. Second point, throughout almost all this period since 2003 on, the most cash, or the station with the biggest cash reserves has been KPFA. They reached a max in 2007 of about $1.3 million in cash. That was lowered last year as they didn't make quite as much money, and also $400,000 was taken out of cash and put into restricted. But Plotch assumes that they're going to get all $400,000 back as unrestricted. From LaVarne's recent report this morning, we find out that they're not going to get the whole $400,000 back as unrestricted, but only $300,000. So it would change a little bit. Other things to gather from our cash history. You can see from 2007 through 2009 how precipitously we have fallen from a max of about $2.4 million to this year, something around $900,000. Now, another point to make is that at the end of this year, only two of our five stations will actually have any significant reserves whatsoever. That's KPFT, which is supposed to have around $210,000, and KPFA, which will have somewhere between $600,000 or $900,000. I guess it would be more like $900,000 now that you add that money that's going to be returned to unrestricted. The other point, the final point that I'll make here, but the other stations, KPFK, you can see how KPFK, that's that light green, sort of light green color there, how their cash reserves have dwindled, dropping from about 2005. Since 2008, 2009, they have essentially nothing at the end of the year. BAI, we have never had significant cash here at the end of the year at BAI, and this year we're projected to have about 20,000. WPFW, it's very. We just heard from our new PFW manager. It's interesting to note that in the middle of this decade, as far as accumulating cash went, WPFW did quite well. They had cash reserves of about $400,000 at the end of the year or more, which is at least two months' expenses for that station. However, over the past 2 years, those reserves dwindled to about $200,000 in 2008, and they're projected to end 2009 with essentially no cash whatsoever. So those are the three units, the three stations with no cash reserves. Finally, there's the national office. That's the light blue color on the bottom. The reason why this graph kind of drops off there at the right and becomes kind of below sea level there, that's because the national office projects a cash deficit of $347,000. It's not clear where that money's going to come from. So it was hard to say, you know. So that's the main point of this plot. So you can see how our cash reserves have dwindled and why we are, you know, we really are having a problem. Okay, moving on. This graph is a little hard to understand, but this plot shows the unrestricted revenue less expenses as reported in our audits, which are done every year. That's how much money the stations took in versus how much money they spent. And each of the six units has a different color. Red is KPFA. That light green is KPFK. The blue is national office. The sort of brownish orange is WPFW, and the green is BAI. Okay. Now, one point, and that dark line there is zero. So if the line is below zero, that means that station has run a deficit during that year. So one point I'd like to bring home here, if you look at the green line, it's been below zero at the end of every year save 2003. What the audits tell us is that WBAI has been operating a deficit for the past 7 years save 2003. So there's this theory here that our problems at WBAI are some new thing. However, the audits tell a much different story. They tell the story that BAI has consistently been running at a loss. So it's not surprising that Pacifica has been having problems. Next, I would like to look at the KPFK line, which is that light tan line. As of 2002, it's the second line down from the top. It's sort of like a light beigey green. It's quite high in 2003. They had a great year. But since then, for the most part, save 2005, KPFK has been operating at a deficit. The other stations, the smaller stations, KPFD and WPFW, which are the purple line and sort of the orange line.
Please come to order. Please come to order. This is a meeting. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board. We're trying to get business done. You are making this meeting ineffective and costing the foundation a lot of money. Come to order.
Okay, now that we've come to order, the other point.
Continue.
Let's see, KPFD and WPFW both have run surpluses through most of the years in this period when I reviewed the audits, with the exception of 2008, when WPFW ran a $120,000 deficit, and it appears that KPFT ran a small deficit in 2008 as well. KPFA is the final one, the red line. They did great in the early part of the decade. That's how they built up that large cash reserve that they still have. And in the latter parts of the decade, they've either been running small surplus or a small deficit. Final point, it's important to remember that both KPFA and BAI had five major fund drives fall into fiscal year 2008. So were it not for the fact that the fall drive started in September rather than October, where they usually do, both the BAI and KPF numbers would look worse. All right, so the main take-home point here is that BAI has been running at a deficit for almost this entire period. All right, now moving on to the next slide. We review the spring drives. We try to keep track of how our station's fundraising is going. Okay, we reviewed the spring drives, how the station's fundraising is going. You can see in our spring drive, most of the stations came close to goal, but came a little short. BAI did well ahead of the goal. The other point to bring out here is that BAI did a much longer drive than the other stations. BAI has actually come into the habit, due to the fact that it's been running deficits for many years, of lengthening its drives to lengths that most other stations wouldn't do. Okay, and then one other slide to check out our fund drive performance here. What this slide shows is actual money per day raised in the fiscal year 09 drives. What actual per day means, that's the pledges, total pledges, times the fulfillment rate divided by the number of days. What this means is how much revenue the station gets each day that it's in drive. This is a good way to compare performance in between stations where they have different fulfillment rates, and the drives go on for different lengths of time. It's worth noting here that KPFA and KPFK basically raise somewhere between $35,000 to $38,000 in cash every day they're on air and drive. KPFT in the winter was less than $10,000. It did better in the spring, up to about $13,000. BAI in the winter was a measly $15,000 per day. With the spring drive, with expected fulfillment, it should be 23. And PFW is somewhat below $20,000.
How much money did you raise as a board member?
Now, the other point to bring out here is we can compare fundraising performance amongst the different stations. It's worth noting that BAI's performance, even with the improved performance this spring, is still distinctly worse than the large stations out west, even though we have larger listenership. So this suggests that BAI still has room for improvement. There's really no reason why we couldn't match the performance of either KPFA or KPFK. So the take-home message here is that BAI's performance has gotten better, but it's still distinctly worse than the other large stations. Okay, one thing that's been happening with our network is our station's fund drives have gotten less and less remunerative as time goes on. I actually don't have the information for the other stations, only for BAI, but I believe they basically show this same trend. You can see that 2002, 2003 at BAI, we were making lots of money per day on air in drive. But that response has fallen ever since 2003 to the point where at 2009, prior to the new management, we were less than half of our peak. And with the May drive, it's gotten better, but it's still not what it was in 2003. And remember, 2003 was the last year that BAI did actually not run a deficit. Okay, so moving on to the next slide. Now we get to a new topic. The other thing National Finance Committee does is we monitor the performance of the network compared to our budgets. You remember last year that we passed budgets that were supposed to keep us solvent this year. Due to the performance last year when we lost money, last summer and fall, we decided we had to make new budgets with less spending that we could actually make because we couldn't really continue to lose cash. If we keep losing cash, then we can't pay our bills and we get in big trouble. So how have we done versus the 2008 budget? For the foundation as a whole, the foundation has run through June, has run a $26,000 deficit. Compared to the budget, we are behind the budget by $1 million. KPFK through June has run a $334,000 deficit. Compared to the budget, KPFA is $339,000 behind. KPFK through June has a $280,000 surplus. However, that's $160,000 behind what the budget expects for KPFK. It's worth noting that part of the problem with KPFK is that the budget expected them to do their spring drive in May. They actually did it in June, so they haven't got in all the income from the drive that the budget expected. KPFT is basically on target. Through June, BAI's run a $227,000 deficit, and we're $432,000 behind where the budget expects us to be. And finally, WPFW has a $180,000 deficit, and that's $300,000 behind where the budget expects us to be. Now, in the national office, as shown in the income statements, we have almost a $400,000 surplus, which is ahead of the budget. However, that is somewhat illusionary because that is based on central services payments coming through from BAI, which haven't actually come. So the national office actually doesn't have that much cash, and they project to have less cash over the rest of the year.
What are the actuals?
So now what I did was to look further is to see where these – so most – all the stations are behind the budget except KPFT.
What are the actuals?
So we're concerned about why that is. And now to break out where these deficits come from, we have these graphs here. Once again, the fat line is zero.
That's the national.
This is for every unit. This shows performance through a total performance through June. It's basically the same info. If you're below the line, you're behind. You're either the blue is actual. So if you're below the line, you're below zero, and the green is the budget. So if you're below the line, you're below where the budget expects.